What I am working on right now, it just got announced pretty much today, I believe. The Greyhaven anthology, You Are Not Alone, which is a it's an anthology put together by the Greyhaven guys. It's basically the 150-page anthology of hope with tales of overcoming bullying, homophobia, racism, depression, abuse, things like that.
Okay.
I'm very excited to be with it. I actually have a long, fairly unknown, actually, history with Greyhaven. When I first started doing comic book reviews, Greyhaven was the first, the guys at Greyhaven were the first guys I ever did comic reviews for, before Newsarama, before Right or Wrong, before anything. And they've been putting out these really cool books for years now through their the Gathering anthologies, and they do these themed anthologies. And I've always wanted to get back in there and always get involved with it. I've been really busy with Nightmare World. I've been really busy with, the Right or Wrong book and Love Stories About Death and Tales of Mystery and Fire Seeker and writing some short films with Black Box TV and all this other stuff I had going on. But I'm like, I want to work with them. I want to work with them. And it was one of these kismet things where Mark Lombardi, who is the Shadowline publicist, or one of the guy that helps to publish a lot of the Shadowline guys over with our crew over there, he has kind of become more and more active and involved and with the Greyhaven and the books. And I said, man, I really want to, do something with you guys someday. And he's like, oh, Andrew knows stuff. That'd be great to do this. So, boom, boom. I'm doing a short story for the You Are Not Alone, which actually they're because they were going from a smaller issue to 150 plus page graphic novel, they are now kickstarting it, and in the first day it's already over halfway funded. I think they're only asking for they want to raise $2,500 to put out this black and white anthology.
That's actually pretty good.
That's really good. And with In the first day, they raised, right now, as I'm looking at it, they're at $1,450. So they're over halfway there in the first day. And Gail Simone's going to have a story in there. Pat Shand is going to have a story in there. I'm going to have a story in there. So it's just going to be a real cool, positive thing. I'm actually going to be doing a second story for another one of the Greyhaven anthologies,
Cool.
which I'm excited about. And then other than that, I'm just trying to work on some more, getting the next wave of Love Stories About Death stories done. Tales of Mystery Volume 2. Oh gosh, I mean, some stuff with Black Box TV is finally coming out, and I'm going to be doing some more new stuff with them. So just busy, but like I said, there are such worse problems to have than being busy.
Well, no, I envy you. I'm trying to get there myself right now. I mean, this is why I'm doing stuff like this, and the, I feel all my work ethic isn't quite up to your standards though. So I got some stuff to work on right now as far as that goes. But it's really.
It's tough because a lot of times even the want, the volition is there, but the time is not. I mean, when you're working a day job and things like that, or you have other situations going on, whether it be you get the flu or whatever, things happen, and it's a tough balancing act, and it's one of those things where you got to do what you can do, and sometimes you just got to roll with the punches and realize I'm not going to get much writing done this week. I'm not going to get any writing done this week. Things like that. So it happens. So one of those things, and if this is a little bit of a right or wrong rant, so be it. But if you have the work ethic, it's just a matter of all that's good, but you don't want to beat yourself up either, because sometimes it's just a situation where I'm going to do what I can when I can. I got someone gave me the Walking Dead video game for Christmas. I'm like, you got to play this, you got to play this, And I was sick for a couple days, so I played it, some of it. I haven't beat it yet, so no spoilers, anyone. I got like a chapter or two to go. And people are like, oh, if you beat the game yet, if you beat this game yet, it's so good, it's so good. And it was really good, and it was really cool. And when I was sick and I didn't have the energy to write, I sat down and I played that a little bit, and it was cool, man. Other than that, when I'm well, personally, I would rather be writing. It's like, I got some time this weekend. I'm going to do a lot of writing this weekend, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious how the Walking Dead game is going to end. I'd Netflix is great. I like, you know, watching a movie here and there. But I try to use my prime energy times to write. And I think one of the things that a lot of people goof up on, and then they say that, so, oh, my work ethic's not there or whatever. And I'm not saying this is you. I'm just saying in general, is that, you know, the key is that when you're awake and you're alert and you have the energy, that's when you need to really write. A lot of people talk about, oh, I like to write at night. I feel more productive and stuff. But a lot of times people are more tired too, man. You know? So as a result, yeah, I don't get to see my friends so much. I don't go to this outside world people speak of so much. But it's really important to use your prime times of your day when you have free time to dedicate that to creating comics if that's what you want to do.
Well, like I said, a long time ago, I actually published a book of poetry. Long, long, long time ago. Mm-hmm. And biggest thing I learned when I did that project was you have to try as an artist, especially when you're trying to break in, you have to find that balance between money and time. And that is such a precarious, precarious balance because you got to pay your bills.
Right.
And you have to eat. But, I mean, you also have to have the time to work because ultimately your time, my belief is your time's your biggest currency you have. And you only, because it only comes once, and once it's gone, you can't get it back. And so you have to try to make the most of it. And I have found over the years the biggest struggle I've had personally is trying to find that happy medium between the two, right? And it's a real challenge. And like I said, and as for you, yeah, I got video games too. I just picked up Ni No Kuni Wrath of the White Witch. It'll take me about 8 months to beat the game.
Oh, is that the Ghibli, Studio Ghibli video game?
Yeah,
I've been hearing all the people I know have been just going up and on about how good that is and stuff like that.
And I haven't even had time to put it in yet. I mean, I just have not had the time. And it'll come. Like, you know, what I tend to do when I do write is when I have the time to really do it, I'll write for a few hours. I'll take a break. I'll play a video game for an hour or two. I'll go back to writing. You know, take another break and, you know, and just try to be productive as I can. But, you know, I'm not beating games like I did when I was younger. You know, I don't have the time. It just, you gotta, I mean, it's what matters to you too. So.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I talk about that in the Right or Wrong book as well. You know, it's like time is all we have. We have time. That's it. How are you going to spend it? And you can't beat yourself up about not writing every minute of every day. That's impossible.
Yeah.
You know, but you just got to be honest with yourself. And if you're really excited about what you're doing, you'll make the time. You know, you'll find the time. You will make the time. It will happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just got to do your best. You know, you can't ask someone to do better than their best.
Well, no, and that's it. I mean, like I said, I congratulate you, though, just on a personal note, that you got all these things coming your way. Let me think about it. So, anyway, now I got to confess, I'm really excited about the return of Mystery. So, when do you think that will happen? And so you're showing previews now as is, and you seem to have this wonderful dilemma going on right now with it. Yes. So, so what's been going on as far as that going back to that goes?
Yeah, Tales of Mystery is is returning. On my Facebook, I posted a color page sample, the black and white, the grayscale black and white sample. Because Seth the Moose is going to be illustrating Volume 2, really excited about it. It's going to be one long-form story, about three or four issue, you know, comic book issues of a story. Volume 1, obviously, was more segmented in these short stories. Volume 2 is one big, long story. It's called Tales of Mystery, Carmageddon. Really stoked about it. If I had to write one comic book forever, and only one, it would be Tales of Mystery. There's no doubt. I mean, this character, this project is so close to my heart, and the plans I have with this character and this story is just super, super exciting for me personally. And Sed the Moose is just jumping out of his skin over working on this. He's so excited about it, and I'm really glad to work with him on it. And he has a certain style that he's previously been kind of credited with, and he's veering away from it a little bit to do something a little different. So to suit this book. So just in every sense of the word, I'm just stoked. When's it coming out? Soon, 2013. He says in February. I have some ideas. I don't want to say publicly yet because how we're going to go about delivering this remains to be seen at this point. Whether we're going to go to print, whether we're going to go to web to print, whether we're going to, you know, there's some balls are up in the air right now about how to best do this. So I'm very excited about it. It's coming out, and people that have been jonesing for their turn of mystery, we're delivering in spades on this one. It's just a monster story. I don't know if I've ever, you might know better than I would. Have I ever publicly said what, I don't think I've ever publicly said what this story is about.
No, you actually have not said anything one way or the other, as far as I'm aware of. I could be wrong, but I...
All right. I'll have to keep that in mind.
Yeah. That's fine. That's fine.
Dick Manning. No, it's... I'll tell you. We're friends. You know, why not? It's called, like I said, it's called Tales of Mystery, Carmageddon. And this is a flashback story. This is, you know, where we let people have read Tales of Mystery Volume 1 knows that it ends in a certain place, and it's not necessarily a very good place for the by any conceivable stretch of the imagination. Tales of Mystery Volume 2 is a flashback story, and it's about what Mystery did during the Armageddon.
Ooh, that could be kind of cool.
It is. And the preview page I posted will give people knowing that. So if you've listened to this podcast, now you know the general setup. Looking at that page that I posted, people can probably start to piece together what's going to be going on here. And it's big stuff. With Nightmare World of Love Stories About Death, I've definitely covered some big issues and some big topics and things like that. And by and large, it's always snippets. It's we're in and we're out. Even with Love Stories About Death, a 22-page story. We're in and out. This is going to be pedal to the metal. We're going to blow through the brick wall, and we're going to keep going. And we're going to keep going, and we're going to keep going in this big equivalent of a three or four, you know, like four-issue miniseries about... Mystery during hell, during 3 days of hell on earth, literally. And it's just big, and it's emotional, and it is nasty, and it is horror, and it is everything. It just, I guess here's the best way I can say it. If I'm tooting my own horn, so be it. Give me four issues to tell the story of Mystery during hell on earth. Go. That's Tales of Mystery Carmageddon.
That actually sounds like a great pitch right there. No, that actually sounds really good. Actually, I just leads to a really interesting question for you, because I know this is – you've mostly written short stories for comics, mostly.
Yeah.
Now you're going more into more long form. Uh-huh. What do you like versus long form over the short, and do you have a preference between them at this point in time?
I love short stories. You know, I mean, I did, 52-plus short stories for Nightmare World, which were 8 pages. We're doing Love Stories About Death right now. The first three have been published online through ShadowlineOnline.com. And those are all 22-page self-contained stories. And we have several more 22-page one-shots for Love Stories About Death coming out. Farseeker is not dead by any stretch of the imagination. That's going to be a longer forms story as well. But Tales of Mystery Carmageddon, this kind of equivalent of, I guess, like a miniseries, four-issue miniseries, I'm starting at the same place I start almost any other type of story. We just go. And, again, it just keeps getting more and more evolved. And to me, if I'm going to tell a three- or four-issue story, I want it to be just as dense as an 8-page story I've written, because the Nightmare World stories, for example, are pretty dense. We don't waste time in 8 pages, you know. Love Stories About Death, I'd like to think the same way, you know. Even with a 22-page story, you get 22 pages of just holy crapness, like, wow, you know, that hopefully every time people read a page, they're like, great googly moogly. With Carmageddon, Tales of Mystery Carmageddon, we're looking at doing that again, but over 4 issues. And against the backdrop of the end of the world, you know, and there's the demonic and invasion and everything else, that's what I'm looking to do. It's a challenge, though, because with Tales of Mystery Volume 1, we really spent, you know, 100-plus pages getting to know this one character. And now there's more stories to be told about this character. In this case, the story of what happened in his past and what led him to be the guy he is now, and even arguably in the place he's in now. So it's interesting with this longer story, point being we get to really explore his character more and just do big action and big horror and the term survival horror is thrown around a lot now, but that's kind of what we're looking at. You know, what would you do to survive, and what do you have to do to survive? That being said, those stories are kind of been told already in a lot of ways. We're looking at a different angle in it, and I'm trying to be kind of vague, and I apologize. It was kind of a vague answer, but what do I like better with these longer stories? In this particular case, this is a 4-issue story, and it's about Mystery, this character people already know, he's established, and we're just going to do a lot of things in this, a lot of things in it.
It sounds awesome, dude. I really can't wait to actually take a look at it. I don't envy you your choice between color and grayscale, though. Wow.
If nothing else, people will realize how excited I am about doing it this way, and that'll buy me a little credit, despite my very vague answer. But it's going to be big. It's just very big, very emotionally charged. Short stories tell small or vignettes. This is a big. This is the movie. This is a full length movie.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. So you got Grey Haven. You got that. You know, I haven't actually talked to you about love stories about death. I don't think ever. And
I don't think yeah.
I don't actually think I have. So how did that come about? And what are you doing with it right now?
The first 3 love stories about death are online, they're shuttling online. Mm-hmm. We have several more installments coming. I originally back in the day, Love Stories About Death was going to be the series that followed Nightmare World. We ended up going to Tales of, and again, you can see like how far out I plan my writing projects, I guess. I've publicly said that Love Stories About Death, stories that were too big to tell in a Nightmare World format. And as a result, what we're doing now is I'm getting to tell these bigger stories. There are more coming out, and there's going to be hopefully some major announcements pretty soon about the future of the series. But there's a good, how many are in production? Let's see, I'm writing a new one this weekend that I've wanted to know forever. I'm really excited about. I'm not going to talk about it. 1, 2. Hold on. I'm counting on my hand. I know this is terrible. 1, 2, 3. There's at least 4. There's 4 more in production right now, in various stages of production. So we're running ahead with that series. How long is it going to go? As long as there's stories to tell. But again, it's just a different type of storytelling for me. And I like exploring the concepts, the interwoven themes of love and death in these genre pieces. You know, the originals, we did the zombie story. We did the pro wrestling story, and then we did the Guardian story. Each of the upcoming issues have a kind of like, this is a blank story. This is a blank story. So that's kind of what we're looking at doing. All
right. But no, okay, so you're doing love stories about death. Is there anything else you're working on that we have not covered at this point?
We can touch on Dies de la Mortis, and I guess Right or Wrong a little bit more if you want.
Yeah, it works. All right. How did you get involved in Dies de la Mortis with Riley Rossmo?
Riley is one of the artists that I've wanted to work with. You know, he's like literally, and this is not an exaggeration, one of my bucket list guys. I knew that someday I really, really wanted to work with him. I've liked his work for such a long time. But it was one of those situations where I always felt like, you know, Someday I can be good enough to work with Riley.
Yeah. I don't blame you. Like I said, I saw him way back before he ever got into comics, and he was good then. I mean, just he was very, very, very talented. He'd be working. He actually got me back into comics, ironically enough. That's how far back I've known him. And I saw his work before Proof, and it was good then. And it's watching his work progress as an evolution. I mean, he's a beast now, just with everything he's doing. So,
yeah. And the thing in this case, what's happened is he actually, for Dias de la Mortis, which comes out Wednesday, for people that aren't aware of it, it's an anthology. It's kind of first Nightmare World. He is illustrating every story, but and they're all themed in Day of the Dead. But he asked all these different writers to pick him stories that take place in Day of the Dead that he could illustrate. So the fact that, you know, I was one of the guys he tapped, and then I get to be featured in the first issue, which comes out Wednesday. And then I get to be the story that closes out the first issue. I'm good with that, man. I'm good with that. You know, I'm just really excited about it. It's a very cool story. It's a very emotional story. When I sent it to Riley, he just was really excited about it, which, again, just, you know, was mind-blowingly great to me. So I really can't wait for everyone to see it. Check it out.
Yeah. Oh, I'll definitely be buying that one Wednesday. So
it's the book to buy. I actually have my I got copies right now. I got, you know, a couple of copies. And it's just this big, cool-looking, oversized book. Just fantastic, man. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's the old Golden Age format, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
I'm really not big on over books like that and things like that because, you know, I'm like real finicky about things on the bookshelf and stuff. But the paper stock and everything on this, it's just very aesthetically pleasing.
Well, actually, the whole – I don't know if you read his Cowboy Ninja Viking series.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole thing was done on that, and the book looked amazing. It was like, that is incredible. Wasn't, you know, I later issues, I wasn't quite a fan of the actual script, but the art was holy cow. I mean, it looked beautiful. It looked beautiful just to watch, and I'm glad that he's still doing more Golden Age stuff. So, because the bigger the thing, the better the art looks. That's my own personal point of view, but what do I know? Okay, you got Dias de la Mortis. And like I said, so you're still doing Right or Wrong columns, right?
Right or Wrong is going to be coming out again soon, with the book coming out, and then as well as a couple other situations, some writing situations and things like that, that have kind of delayed a little bit longer the online return when I wanted to. I did that last column over at Newsarama, Why Hellblazer Matters. Going to be coming back online very, very soon. So I just encourage everyone to watch my Twitter, watch my Facebook, because there's going to be some big Right or Wrong announcements coming much sooner than later at this point.
Yeah, that's cool. So is it going to be a monthly column, weekly column?
I'm looking at doing monthly, you know, and just kind of continuing what we put forward originally in the book.
Oh, that's cool. Actually, I kind of wondered this after reading the book a little bit more. I mean, your advice is great, and it's awesome, and I'm not actually trying to whiskey out the door. But, I mean, do you ever see a column like this coming to an end, or is this like you, because is it a continual learning process for you?
You know, it's something I think about a lot. I don't want to write it just for the sake of writing it. I've never done that in anything I've ever done, and it's not going to change. I write it when I have things to say. I think will be very helpful to people. I think I talked earlier about the fact that in another year or so, I'd like to put out a sequel to Right or Wrong, A Writer's Guide to Creating Comics, which is kind of about, now that you're making comics, what do you do now? What's the next step? You know, going on the road for conventions, promoting your work effectively, things like that. I mean, I've already done over 70 columns. If I get to 100, that'd be awesome. If I get to 100 and I can do another 50 or 100 that I really think are worth people's time, and worth the effort for me to write them, and the time for people to read them, I would definitely do it. That being said, I'm never going to turn Right or Wrong into a column about me just blogging. Right or Wrong is not a blog. It's a column meant to be collected into books that help people create comics. So that's really my end goal in writing it, and that's really why I want to do it. And when it gets to the point where I've said what I had to say about the topic, I'll stop writing it, whether it be temporarily or permanently.
Are you still learning things at this point as a writer of comics that, you know, in your opinion, still are there still surprises as far as this goes at this stage in the game?
Oh, absolutely. Every day. Just doing stuff like when I got involved with Black Box TV and was writing some screenplay stuff with them. Everyone always says, for example, oh, if you write comics, it's easy to write a film. Not necessarily. You know, not at all. I'd like to point and write around and talk about that experience. In convention, just in San Diego Comic Con for the first time last year. That was a huge learning experience. Just working with guys like Jim Valentino. You know, he's one of the statesmen of creator-owned comics. And working with him and someone that has as many miles on the road as he does and picking his brain about stuff and watching how he does things. You know, it's almost learning every day. It's just a matter of when I do the Right or Wrong column, they're not short. You know, I just want to make sure that they're worth those time to read them, and that every time someone reads a Right or Wrong column, that they get to reading it and think, wow, I really learned something from that. Or at least I was very entertained by that, I guess, one or the other.
Well, that's cool. All right. I think we've covered quite a few things here. So, is there anything you'd like to add?
More announcements coming soon. You know, Love Stories About Death's going to be coming back. Tales of Mystery Carmageddon is going to be launching sooner than later. I'm some stuff I did with Black Box TV a while back is coming to fruition. So some more short film by me. And I love Black Box TV. Super stoked about that. And that's more stuff. Follow me on Twitter or watch my Facebook and you'll get all the updates. But big things are happening. Big things are happening, my friend.
Yes. Well, on that note, I will gotta say this before on my end. I thought Right or Wrong was the best book about comics I've read since Understanding Comics by Scott McCloud.
Wow. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, my goal was to make a Bible for people that can write but can't draw. And the response to Right or Wrong has just been so overwhelmingly positive. Just really excited about it. And again, anyone wants to create comics, I just, you know, anybody out there wants to write comics, I'm encouraging you. I'm not trying to make money off of people. You know, I put this column out online for 5 years. But I'm just saying from my heart, if you want to create comics and you can't draw, Right or Wrong, Writer's Guide to Creating Comics by Dirk Mann, me. It's on Amazon. That's the book people need to check out. I mean, you owe it to yourself $16 to get this book and help yourself. So that's what it's there for.